For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with another readout video from our weekly email newsletter, starting with a special greeting to the City of Brotherly Love, also known as the City of 44th on our list of most CDN views. And then a special invitation to everybody everywhere to join us for our first ever webinar. We'll be talking to Roger Pilkey Jr. about 30 years of climate research and the various odd things that have happened in the course of his career. And it is free, but you do have to register, so please click here. And now, a special sneer for that loveliest of domesticated animals, the camel. Yes, it's hump day, according to climate alarmists. The Washington Post claims that, quote, the global camel population has doubled over the last 20 years, something the UN Agency for Agriculture and Investment attributes partly to the animal's suitability amid climate change, end quote. Not that you own one or that I do. But supposedly in Kenya, savvy shoppers are switching en masse to the famously drought-resistant but obnoxious Camelus dromedarius, and as a side benefit, quote, camels produce more milk than cows, end quote. Yeah, but it's camel milk. And if it tasted any good, we'd expect that farmers would have swapped their cows for camels long ago. Still, enthusiasts say you'll drink camel milk and you'll be happy. Quote, you've heard about the amazing health benefits, but what about the taste? Camel milk has a sweet, slightly salty, and creamy taste. It has a similar smooth consistency to 2% milk, even though it is very lean and low-fat, end quote. Well, no, we haven't heard about the amazing health benefits. And nor are we looking for stealth skim milk. But apparently, it's looking for us. And it's not as though Kenyans supposedly liked it better either. Rather, the story claims, quote, a 3-year drought in the Horn of Africa that ended last year killed 80% of the cows in this part of Kenya and shattered the livelihoods of so many people. In this region with the thinnest of margins, millions are being forced to adapt to climate change, end quote. Phooey. Where's the evidence that East Africa never used to have droughts? That dry weather never killed cattle in the past and farmers never rebuilt their herds? Sure, maybe Kenya's had a bad spell recently. Weather is variable, and it's often nasty, as it always has been. But if you go back there in a decade, guess what? They'll still be drinking cow milk. Long live consumer choice. Of course, if the camels don't get you, the coral will. As with Antarctica, you can't kill it often enough. And so Reuters announces that, quote, along coastlines from Australia to Kenya to Mexico, many of the world's colorful coral reefs have turned a ghostly white in what scientists said on Monday amounted to the fourth global bleaching event in the last 3 decades, end quote. And you know what the problem is, right? Quote, at least 54 countries and territories have experienced mass bleaching among their reefs since February 2023 as climate change warms the ocean's surface waters, according to the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Coral Reef Watch, end quote. It's incorrect, of course, but it is scary. If they had Google on their computers, they might know a few things they currently don't that would reassure them, which they don't really want. Starting with the fact that coral evolved in a warmer world and does best, as any non-fool knows, where it's warmer on the planet today. Places like Australia, not places like Baffin Island. They'd also know that bleaching is not unusual or ominous. They might even find out that it's an adaptive response to changes in temperature, not to heat. They bleach if it gets suddenly warmer. They bleach if it gets suddenly colder. It's a perennial favorite. Not a swan song. In the newsletter, we also note that Ottawa, Canada's capital, experienced its lowest temperature on April 25th in almost 70 years, proving nothing, except that weather fluctuates, which is also true when it has an unusually hot day, by the way. Also, Canada's federal Liberal administration and Ontario's provincial Conservative one just spewed forth another $5 billion in subsidies for yet more EV batteries that will supposedly appear in just 4 years and create 1,000 new jobs at a bargain basement, $5 million a job, if they appear. Please, stop. Just stop. Don't help us anymore. And an alert reader also sent us a Newsweek puff piece on a high-speed, all-electric, zero-emissions rail link between Rancho Cucamonga outside Los Angeles and Las Vegas, Nevada. And Woohoo! Quote, it is anticipated that there will be a reduction in vehicle miles traveled of 700,000 miles per year, removing 400,000 tons of carbon dioxide per year, and supporting both California and Nevada climate strategies, end quote. Right. Until you work through it and discover that those figures require cars to burn 38 gallons of gas per mile. Math am hard, but panic is easy. And speaking of hard numbers, alarmists are remarkably flexible about when exactly man-made global warming hit and hit hard. Thus, Gavin Schmidt, who's director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, and he's at Climate of Gavin on X, so he's not in any way a monomaniac, posted recently, quote, apropos of nothing, we have lake ice duration data from Wisconsin that goes back to the mid-19th century. Ice duration has shrunk by about a month over that period, and this winter was the shortest duration after 2001-2002 in the record, end quote. But as Tom Nelson promptly retorted, quote, if CO2 is really the Wisconsin lake ice duration control knob, why did CO2 completely fail to operate as that control knob from maybe 1890 to 1980, end quote. Well, see, the laws of physics and chemistry were different then or something. In the newsletter, we also note the perennial temptation of radicals, including climate alarmists, to dissolve the people and elect a new one. In this case, Heatmap chirps, quote, are pollsters getting climate change wrong? Why, climate might be a more powerful election issue than it seems, end quote. Yeah, as long as you get a different electorate than the one you've actually got. Because pollsters do get a lot of things wrong. But in this case, we're pretty sure they've gotten the right message, and it's the global warming zealots who yet again have closed their minds to evidence, including about what normal people think and why they think it. Consider this apparently unrelated CTV story that the private credit bureau, quote, Equifax Canada, is warning that Canadian consumers are increasingly under stress from the surging cost of living. Our data says about 50% of Canadians are living paycheck to paycheck, Sue Hutchinson, the president of Equifax Canada, told CTV News Channel on Tuesday, end quote. So, raising energy prices, without even cutting GHG emissions, is going to make people unhappy with reason. They're already close to the edge financially. And yet, when Canadian Conservatives chant, axe the tax, our Prime Minister literally claims that the Tories want to take away people's money by not taxing them and then giving some of it back. And then, when the tax turns out to be voter repellent, the Liberals rename it from Climate Action Incentive Payments to Canada Carbon Rebate and actually threaten legal action to force banks to put that shiny label on auto deposits without the thing polling any better than it did. Oh, and if you're worried about the Earth, look way, way up. Because one problem with the whole man-made global warming theory is that other planets and bodies in our solar system have also shown signs of recent warming. And now, there's news that they might be causing it rather than, or as well as, experiencing it. In this case, the theory is that Mars pulls the Earth a bit closer to the Sun on roughly a 2.4 million year cycle, which leads to greater solar radiation hitting the Earth, a temperature increase, and significant changes in ocean currents. But of course, they hasten to add, quote, the observed warming effect is not linked to global warming that is being driven by human greenhouse gas emissions, the authors emphasized in a statement, end quote. No, heavens no, no scientific inquiry must interfere with the science. It didn't used to be this way. Decades ago, it was okay for scientific publications and academic outlets to claim that, for instance, it was warming on Triton, Neptune's largest moon. And mainstream media outlets, in this case ABC, could write things like, quote, it might seem like the weather's getting warmer here on Earth, but Mars appears to have an even bigger global warming problem, end quote. Nowadays, shtum, or worse. CBS now assures us that the fate of Mars, quote, may offer an example of the damage that can occur to life itself because of the greenhouse gas effect, end quote. See, Mars cooled lethally because of methane, so a computer says our planet will warm lethally because of it. QED. Now, it's possible that CDN readers and viewers are not its most enthusiastic celebrants, but we did mention in the newsletter that Earth Day happened back on April 22nd. It was the 54th such event, and apparently the big threat they were dealing with this time was, no, not that. It was actually plastic, the famously useful and therefore evil substance, almost as vital to our civilization as the fossil fuel petrochemical feedstocks that plastic is made from. This year's Earth Day theme was Planet versus Plastics, Boo, plastics, killing the Earth, climate already killed. Stop already, we're out of planets. Though not out of hype. Or, to be fair, legitimate concerns. As a matter of fact, one of our worries here at CDN about climate alarmism is that it sucks all the oxygen, or CO2, and all the money out of discussions and action on other environmental problems, including ones that are real. And here we want to underline, there has been a lot of genuine progress on the environment since that stunning Apollo 8 Earthrise photo of our planet from lunar orbit that emphasized not just how beautiful the Earth was, but also how lonely. Because of this rising awareness of environmental problems, the air and water are far cleaner in Western democracies today than they were when we were kids, or when Los Angeles Highland Park Optimist Club had to wear gas masks indoors due to smog back around 1954. But the funny thing is, they were right to be optimistic about how open societies address and fix problems. It's a messy, ill-tempered, and often ill-informed process on both sides, the kind of chaos that makes tyrants and many non-Westerners fear liberty. But somehow through it we sort things out, even while spouting nonsense about single-use plastic bags that we repurpose as trash bags. Or worse nonsense, Canada's government recently got slapped down by a court for labeling plastic toxic as an end run around the rule of law. If plastic were toxic, if drinking straws were poisonous, there'd be a heap of corpses at the soda fountain. And if plastic bags were toxic, your groceries would be moldering beside your corpse in the kitchen. And yet the result of this often muddled and mean-spirited clash is that we really do think about things like whether this particular modern miracle has a serious downside, from used fishing nets in the ocean to microplastics in the everything. And we do tend to figure out what's really wrong, and we do tend to do something sensible about it. So on that note, belatedly, happy Earth Day. Speaking of happy, in the newsletter we also continue our Getting Worse series. We'd recently contrasted scowling killjoy Greta Thunberg's diatribe, quote, people are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing, end quote, with accelerating increases in global food production. And this week, we contrast it with declining fatality rates overall from climate hazards globally. Yes, in rich countries and also in poor ones. In both, people are dying far less often than a few decades ago, and dollar value losses follow the same pattern. Once again, it's the opposite of what the climate doomsters say. And in the newsletter, we note that Facebook is censoring Martin Durkin's Climate the Movie because their so-called independent fact-checkers say it's chock full of misinformation, a word here meaning facts they don't like. And here's one of them, quote, so, when we look back in time, what do we find? Over almost all of the last 500 million years, the level of CO2 in the atmosphere has been far higher than it is now. Even with modern industry's contribution to CO2 levels, by geological standards, the level of atmospheric CO2 today is close to being as low as it has ever been, end quote. And instead of averting our gaze with a pious gesture, we checked, and it's true. You have to be cautious with proxies, of course, especially as you go further back in time. But what we've been able to find seems to indicate that for 600 million years, CO2 levels in the atmosphere were usually 2 to 20 times higher than they are now. If you look at this chart, RCO2 on the vertical axis means the CO2 level relative to the average, mean average, of the last million years. So R equals 5 means 5 times the CO2 level of the most recent era. And MA means millions of years ago. And you look at it, you see that CO2 levels got pretty low between 250 million and 350 million years ago, close to the present level, which is unusually low. And that means that most of the critters around us, from coral to birds to dogs, evolved and flourished when there was far more CO2 in the atmosphere, and they loved it. And another thing, we wrap up with an item from the CO2science.org archive that checks the normal assumption that CO2 causes warming against, what's that dang thing? The historical record. Looking at thousands of temperature proxies and hundreds of CO2 ones, W.J. Davis found that in the last 425 million years or more, the two didn't move together. Indeed, if anything, they were antiphasic, which is how a scientist might typically say, moving in opposite directions. Just as evidence and clarity seem to have done among climate alarmists, weirdly enough. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I am not about to milk a camel, I assure you.
That's right.